Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
You know the thing about Painted, you know the thing about Painted Shield? Punctual.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here. Checking out the episode. I put out 3 new interviews every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So if this is your type of thing, hit that subscribe button. You can do it at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Keep up with all of your favorite artists and discover some new ones as well. And I'm Kyle Meredith today, talking with Stone Gossard, one of my all-time musical heroes, the Pearl Jam guitarist. In fact, this time we're talking about the second Painted Shield album, which comes out just about a year, I guess, after the debut album from the band. Mason Jennings, Brittany Davis, Matt Chamberlain, and Stone. We're going to be talking about further exploring their sonic palette. Also discussing developing into a multiple vocalist group, how the song 4th of July unfortunately arrives while the world is on the brink of a war, and the comparisons to Stone's other offshoot, Brad. And on that subject, we're told that, yes, there is another Brad album in the works. I suppose it's going to be the final album. It takes some demos and lost vocal takes from the late Sean Smith, and it could come out later this year. From there, of course, the attention is going to be turned to Pearl Jam, who recently announced they're finally rescheduled Gigaton tour dates. Gigaton came out in 2020. They have not been able to properly tour this album as of yet for all of the obvious reasons. We're going to be talking about relearning the new tracks for it the third time. The possibility of a Lost Dogs Part 2. This is their B-sides record that came out about 20 years ago. And wanting to make looser records at a quicker pace. And yes, confirming what you're wondering, that they have started working on another album. Let's do it. Talking about Painted Shield 2, it's Kyle Meredith with Stone Gossard.
What's up, Kyle?
It's great to see you again. And this time we get to, amongst the several things, we get to talk about a new Painted Shield album already. Number 2 is here. You guys didn't waste any time going into this one, huh?
You know, we ended up kind of, you know, as we kind of got into our flow for the first record, we ended up really kind of stumbling onto another avenue of songwriting, which was, you know, Matt Chamberlain became a real force in songwriting and developed a bunch of the ideas on this new record, and Brittany Davis too. So everyone's writing, and you know, honestly, we have another batch that's probably close to Painted Shield 3. So, and this was, you know, it comes in fits and starts. So, you know, 1 week, all of a sudden, everyone will be like, oh, I threw some more things in the Dropbox. And Mason has just been voracious. And he's been, you know, we've all been home a lot. So he's got his little studio set up. So he's been throwing stuff on, and Brittany's got her studio set up, and Matt's got a full, you know, drum studio down in Los Angeles. So everyone is just kind of excited about the combination of personalities in this band, and really like crazily true collaboration, because we're continuing to kind of jump around. Everyone's writing, everyone's getting a chance to develop whole ideas. So it's really fun.
It's really fun to watch too. I mean, you know, take you for instance, being in a band for 30 years, it's not per se that a new album isn't exciting. I'm sure it is to a certain degree, but this really seems like, you know, the bunch of kids who got together and now they've created a band and now they get to do all this music again. Like that's gotta be something, I don't know. It's just gotta be something fun to get, you know, further into your career and still be able to find that feeling.
I'm trying to keep that the theme of my life, and I've managed to do it so far. And I'm, you know, I'm always worried that it's about to all end, but you know, the same holds true for Pearl Jam. I mean, I think when you've been in a band, the you know, the bar gets set higher and higher, you know, because you have had these collaborations. So then it's like new, can you do it again in a new way? Can you, you know, recreate it? Where Painted Shield is just kind of getting to know each other. So there's a lot of, you have a lot of range still, but, you know, Pearl Jam still, I mean, we still have the fire. I still want to make the definitive, you know, post 21st century Pearl Jam record. So, I'm still dreaming about what's next for that.
Well, we'll get to that little band here in just a little bit too, as well, because big announcement was made today. But on this Painted Shield, one of the first things I noticed was the sonic adventures, especially on those first two tracks, you know, seem like you guys are already pushing far beyond where you left us off on the first record. Where, like, maybe that's what you're talking about with like Matt Chamberlain and all that stuff.
Exactly.
But where are you coming from with these riffs and everything, these sounds? Where did these just come from?
That's literally from Matt Chamberlain. He's developing ideas like a synth bass part and some drums over it, and he'll just send us this track. And here's the thing about Matt, he's such a sought after session guy, such an incredibly great feel. I mean, he can, you know, come in and learn, you know, whole set lists of material and, you know, in the hour it takes to fly to wherever you are. So he's one of those consummate professionals, but really he writes like a songwriter. And when he plays, when he gets a little synth part and he puts drums on it, he creates these very song-like patterns where it has this tension and release. It has these sort of sections. It builds. It has an arc to it. And he's an incredible songwriter. And I think that we're so lucky that we're able to kind of get in on the ground floor of Matt's, you know, sort of explosion into being a writer or really, I mean, he has been writing for a while, but really to reap the benefits of all the work that he's put in. So we're going to keep following that, but a lot of that atmospheric stuff and the way the drums sound and kind of all of that sort of space, that's really him kind of developing it. And then he's sort of Mason kind of overlaying this sort of storytelling aspect of it and the melodies over the top. And then, you know, really giving tons of room to Brittany and myself. I mean, I think Brittany harmonizes with Mason almost on everything. So it's really their voices together now that's kind of becoming this kind of thing. And I keep going back to the idea of like really wanting to nurture that as well. And almost in like the sense of when you think about X and you always think about John Doe and Xzine's voices, it's one sound. It kind of ends up being this like such a unique characteristic. And I think Painted Shield has a chance to kind of have that dual sort of harmonic kind of thing that is so, it just adds to its uniqueness and its, you know, and I think anytime that Brit is adding in their voice, it's just so soulful and so the harmonic choices they make are just so interesting. So it's really cool.
Yeah. And having Brittany take the lead now, Life and Rewind, being one of the big standouts here,
yeah.
it like, I wonder, like, how much does that change the idea of what Painted Shield gets to be now? Because in, when you think of that traditional sense, the way we were introduced to Painted Shield, of course, was just Mason, you know, as the front person there. But now, I guess it does get to become, or do you see both of them as the lead vocalist? Do you start taking a turn as a lead in the future? Like, how does this work?
You know, it's it, they are both real singers, and you know, I think that they come from different places, and they both have really strong elements that they're bringing to it. But I think we're in that phase right now. It's this, it's the sort of adage of how many balls can you keep in the air at the same time without, you know, dropping them. And I think that we're really I think as a band, we're really trying to again be open to renewing at any point, like, well, kind of what do we have and like what's great, instead of, you know, bands fall into patterns and they want to like, okay, well then this is my role and this is, and I think that that can be really good, but it also there's opportunities, I think, when you are when you keep opening the door to new possibilities. Britt is a formidable singer and songwriter, and we'd be fools not to incorporate their whole thing as much as they want to share with us into our soup, because it's only going to make our soup more interesting and more, you know, cool. And I think if we have a superpower, it's our openness to sharing, because I think that's maybe one of the most difficult things to do as artists and as band members is creating an identity and songs where you have to make choices about all those things that go into a song, and remain open to really wanting input from kind of all around. And I think it's, you know, it's difficult and it can be messy and it can be sometimes unsuccessful, but I think when it is successful, you start to get into that, you know, some of your favorite bands you've ever, you know, sort of, you know, you think about bands like, you know, the Beatles, and you think the reason why the Beatles are so great is Paul McCartney's fucking genius. He's incredible. Of course, John Lennon, oh my God, everybody in that band is amazing. But it really is when you watch that movie and you see them sharing and interacting with each other, there's not a, you know, that's a difficult thing to achieve, and it's a difficult thing to maintain. You know, it's very easy to kind of everyone go home and write a bunch of songs by themselves, go, here's my song and here's how it goes, you know, and it's, that is cool too. And there's a lot of good things that can come out of really strong individual efforts. But I think that's the excitement about Painted Shield. I think that is probably one of the biggest things that is sort of driving it, is that we don't know where it's going. And it's so interesting to have something where it's just pure, like, you know, it could be anything.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now, or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
And you get so many different sounds. I mean, I talked about those first two tracks, and then you get to Life and Rewind, and that's a very different sound. And those kind of, it's funny that, you know, this all comes within the last couple of years of you relaunching Loose Groove, because it reminds me of what you all were doing when you first started that. I grabbed both versions of it, but you know, this little soundtrack meant the world to me, the Chicago Cabs soundtrack. I have two versions of it. It meant so much to me, but it's because of that, you know, like being introduced to so many different sounds, what you all were doing back then, I feel like I'm starting to hear that in album form now from what you're doing with Painted Shield.
I mean, Loose Groove is really an extension of, you know, my relationship with Regan, and now with Billie Jean working with us. It really is this sort of, we're gathering threads that we lost a while ago, and we're still pulling on them, and we're still excited about the same kinds of things. We're still excited about the same themes. But I think even more sort of cherishing the moment and really being like just feeling very fortunate to kind of have these moments. So everything is, we have a lot of energy for it because it's so precious, you know, that you don't get to go back to your childhood, you know, sometimes there's a lot of people that don't allow themselves that. And it's a blessing for sure.
We'll get into some of these songs too. And actually I'll jump around a little bit with two projects of yours, Painted Shield and Brad, which I got a couple of the CDs over my shoulder here. The first time I heard Dead Man's Dream, that was one of the first times within Painted Shield that I sort of recalled Brad. I think what Brittany's doing in the background sounded like Sean Smith to me.
And
getting that. And then looking back, Interiors, which is one of my all-time favorite. I love that record as much as I love any Pearl Jam record. I think it's incredible.
That's awesome.
And hearing what you were doing musically back then, which seemed to like you were leaning into a little bit more of a pop rock thing than maybe you had done in Pearl Jam in recent years at that time, you know, and that kind of led into some other things, but I'm hearing that from you too. I don't know if you can put a pin on it, I put a marker on it, but do you hear the relationship between the two bands and what you're doing musically on the guitar on this round?
Well, I mean, I think Dead Man's Dream it's obviously, it's kind of a little bit more boogie woogie than Pearl Jam kind of generally goes for, you know, in general, like that's something that comes pretty natural to me. And it's like, it's not the creme de la creme for Ed in terms of like what he's attracted to or sort of where he connects. Usually he connects to these weird, you know, things that I throw together that are like, almost like mismatches, but you think about Evolution or something like that, it's like this, it's got to have some angularity to it and some like it's got to be a little noisier and not so sexy. But so it makes sense that Dead Man's Dream, that's a riff I would have played for Brad for sure. And I, in fact, you know, I did play that was a Brad riff at one point. We never finished, but it was thrown into the pile. So
that makes sense. There we go. Yeah. That record I mentioned is 25th, and I got Welcome to Discovery Park over here, which is also the 20th of that one this year. And I hadn't read up on anything, and I was like, man, I just wonder if there's more Brad. And it turns out there's more Brad.
Yeah. There's a record, and it's very close to being done, and it's beautiful, and we're very excited about it. We're just kind of trying to figure out the best way to do it and how to really finish it out. And it's not quite ready yet, and we haven't figured out exactly how it's going to come out, but we're really working on it, and we really really expect that it's going to be a special record. And we've spent some time kind of going back and listening to all these old takes that we had and old songs that that we recorded, and some beautiful, beautiful Sean Smith vocals and poetry and performances. And it's going to come. I don't know when it's going to come, but it's going to come soon-ish, I hope.
Well, that's what I was kind of wondering, you know, finding the Sean Smith vocals to put on this. Was this stuff from his personal stash, or was it stuff that you all had already sort of done together, a demo?
It was all stuff that we'd recorded together as a band. So it's not, there's no individual vocals that weren't connected to a song. It was all sort of demos, but then it was kind of going back and being able to kind of go, okay, you know, here's the shape that Sean has. Let's make this little edit here, and let's expand harmonically on this, you know, the bridge, and maybe we'll put some piano on it and kind of bring out that melody more, and turn the guitar off in the front. And actually let's have the drums come in the second verse, and, you know, like just making some arrangement choices that really will bring out the song more, because none of them were, they were all just kind of demos and, I mean, that, which is very Brad, because we ended up putting out demos constantly. That was our, once we recorded something, it was very difficult for us to kind of do too much more to it, you know, because it would always be, well, let's go back. And I like the first rough mix where it just sounded kind of, you know, and that was kind of our thing. So we're trying to stay in that same mode. It's, none of it's going to be polished, you know, it's going to sound like Brad.
Well, such a special band, and of course Sean's voice, I don't have to be the millionth person to say it, but was such an amazing voice on top of that. So I'm quite excited about hearing what's there on that. And then, so we get back to this one, back into Painted Shield, and I'm digging into these songs. One of the tracks, Beyond Dead Man's Dream, had made it out last year, I think, called 4th of July, if I remember. That one was kind of released a little bit early. And suddenly, here we are, and that here's a track that's found a different level. Is that hitting you all in the same way? Because with what's happening over on the other side of the world, I'm listening to 4th of July going, oh, wow. You know,
I hadn't really listened to 4th of July in a while, but the level of anxiety and the level of sort of upheaval and insanity that, you know, the world is kind of going through right now is just, it just feels like relentless. And I'm honestly very worried and very sad about so much of this stuff. So yeah, I mean, fuck, man,
it's a powerful song.
How do you have a conversation about music and about bombs falling on your, you know,
right?
It's like there's a complete disconnect, you know, between what's going on over there and the rest of the world reading about it in the paper. So I don't know how do we stop that? I'm not sure. You know,
not the first time you all been in this position, just with the songs that you've been connected to, but it is one of the absolute powerful moments on a record that's got several very powerful moments. And I'll say, I'll flip that too, and very fun moments. I don't want to make it too heavy in that regard, because like, I dropped the title. It's the in-flight song with the plane in the sky.
Oh yeah. Falling out the sky.
Talk about total fun. And here we are again, talking about Brittany and Mason's voice together. I mean, I think this is the one where they really do like sparring partners, and
this is more
so
back
well.
And forth. Yeah.
Yeah. When you talk about getting into album three, are we going to be hearing more of that type of stuff, do you think?
You know, I think that there will be some of that. And then more, I think also of sort of the bird's nest kind of motif, where it's really both their voices just sort of really locked in harmony the whole time, where again, it becomes sort of one voice. So we're going to touch it all. The next record is more out there. It's more sort of adventurous. It's probably less sort of songwritery in a way, and more just taking these interesting pieces and sort of forming them into songs. So it'll be fun to have that. I think that hopefully that will be done by the end of the year. So if all goes well.
And you guys, you do get to tour this at some point, right?
I think Painted Shield's going to play at Ohana if all works out. So that'll be our debut show. We'll see.
That's interesting. There's a connection here too. And that, maybe you all have made this connection. Maybe I'm reaching too far, but the similarities when I talk about those first two tracks, like Live Broadcast and what Ed put out with Earthling. And I thought there's something just in the ether, you know, did you all make that connection?
Well, as far as what's the connection? I mean, what do you see as the similarities?
I'm seeing, you know, the Live Broadcast, the way Ed opens up his album too, with this whole sort of a broadcast type of thing, but there's the Earthling and there's the alien part of this album. Yeah. And, you know, there's that whole thing, just nice coincidence, maybe.
It's complete coincidence. But that's the way art works sometimes, is, you know, things are in the air and everybody is begins to kind of pick up on it. So that, you know, that makes sense to me.
You gotta wonder what the psychological part of that's, you know, because there was a part not that long ago, and I end up talking about, I think in more than a few interviews, of artists that had started writing about space. And this was 2016, 2017, 2018. And I thought, of course, we're escaping. We just want to get the hell out of this place.
Well, yeah, but what about 1971, Rocket Man and Ground Control and Major Tom, and that was the first time space became like in popular music, like, you know, David Bowie and Elton John. Maybe Elton John was first. I can't remember which one came out first. But they were pretty close together.
Yeah, Elton I think came first, because that's why they rushed Bowie's out as a single to kind of, I might be wrong about that.
But I mean, I wonder when Starman was. I mean, so there's some references in the Spiders from Mars. So, but you know, Bowie was early on that. And I don't remember Frank Sinatra ever singing about going in outer space.
Did he have any cowboy songs? Because that would have been the jump. You had the cowboy generation, then you had the space generation, you know?
Yeah.
That's which generation were you?
Well, I saw Star Wars when it first came out. So I witnessed that freak out, you know, that explosion and, going to see it five times and lines around the block and that whole thing that's long gone.
Right.
But yeah, I don't remember. I wasn't really too much of a cowboy.
I feel like that would have been a little bit earlier than you. I'm reaching around here because I know we're getting short on time. And I did mention the other big thing, the announcement as we're talking about touring was that the tour dates from Pearl Jam have finally been announced. This record right here finally gets to be toured.
Yeah, I know. It's exciting. And which means I've got to go back and figure out how to play all those songs again for the third time, you know, because we learned them all and we're kind of ready to go in 2019 or, you know, and then stopped. And then we played some shows, just a few. And then we learned them all again. And then, you know, that when you're old, it all goes out the window. So starting next week, I'm starting to figure out how to play Pearl Jam songs again, which I'm so excited. I mean, it's been so long. I love touring with Pearl Jam, and for us to be actually on the road again and playing some consistent shows and kind of getting back into it. It's like, I didn't know that, you know, I mean, I hope it all still happens. I didn't know that. Who knows what's going to happen. You know, we're going to take it one day at a time, but I'm so excited that we are moving ahead. So.
Yeah. I saw my first shows, which two of them were stadium shows. I saw Tool and Billie Eilish this past week.
Oh, wow.
Back to back sold out shows. And to be in that room that, you know, is a KFC Yum Center here in Louisville, but to be in that room and just have 20,000 people, you know, that's a feeling that you don't think you've forgotten until you feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. What great shows. That's cool.
Yeah, nice. Different crowds, but nice back-to-back stuff right there. But, you know, also what a interesting relationship to an album that must have given you so far to have, you know, had Gigaton out there now for a couple years. And, you know, for a band like you all, these songs come to life on the stage. That's where they start changing, you know. So, you know, what is that like?
I mean, it's going to be great. I'm so proud of that record. I just really loved that process of making that record and how it ended up becoming what it was. I think it's one of our special records, and I'm not worried about it, you know, in terms of like people ask, you know, are you sad that you didn't get, you know, it didn't get the shot or whatever. It's like with Pearl Jam, it doesn't matter. All those songs are in the catalog. We're going to play them. And if people really love a song, we're going to know, and we're going to play it for you. And, you know, I'm just, the fact that we've got so many songs and Ed has so many stories and so many lyrics that people just connect with, and that, you know, I get to be in a band that, you know, kind of helps to animate that, you know, like we get to, you know, hit riffs and play parts and sort of drive the energy of that, you know, of a room and create something that we've all worked together for so long to make. It's incredible. It's like it's a miracle, you know.
I'll say the one thing that I miss that with Gigaton, I think maybe even with Lightning Bolt, is, and this is the culture across the board, is the lack of B-sides these days. I know there's not the same reason to put those out. Are there B-sides still? Like, I'm thinking, like, it's now been like 20 years since you guys put out Lost Dogs. Could there be another Lost Dogs in the works at some point?
There is some B-sides for sure. I think that sort of it's important for us to maintain that irreverence to, you know, songwriting in terms of like just throwing rough vocals on, just taking stabs at stuff, trying stuff. That's where you kind of can get some more B-sides too. I think we've been a little bit more methodical in terms of trying to start and finish things. So there is songs out there that we haven't finished, and there is some things, whether they're B-sides or not, you know, who knows. But, you know, that's funny. It's like the B-side record ends up being some of the, you know, people's favorite records because you didn't screw with it too much. You just let it kind of be. And that's one lesson that we've learned from our fans and from being in this band, is that it's not about what you think it is. Probably it's probably something else that makes people like really like be in love with what's going on. And it's the alchemy of the whole thing and us being together and trusting each other and kind of believing in that same process of rock and roll, which is simple and it doesn't require any scientific knowledge or any special skill set other than just like a belief and some, a little bit of talent and some love for each other and that kind of generates. So I want to just keep staying in that state of mind where we make looser records and more and are quicker in terms of being able to kind of generate that kind of feeling or that kind of art.
Well, when you look back at it too, I mean, especially considering your all's track record with B-sides, you know, Lead Better Last Kiss becoming actually staple hits for you all. Strangest Tribe is one of my all time favorites.
Oh,
Fatal,
yeah, nice.
And Other Side and that type of stuff. Like, you know, I, as a fan, of course we live for that stuff. You know, that's, you know, getting that stuff is big. I will end with one of the obvious questions here. The way you talk about working with Painted Shield, the way you all have, is that a process that Pearl Jam could do? Because now it does, you've talked about this many times before, you've slowed down on the albums, which is totally understandable, but could you all work like that?
We do already in a sense. I mean, I think that we have more opportunities to be in the studio together. Painted Shield spread out and, you know, everyone in Painted Shield lives in different parts of the country and it requires money to get everybody together. And like, you know, so we don't want to spend a bunch of money that puts pressure on the record to have to make a bunch of money. So, but you know, Pearl Jam is, we constantly are asking, what is another process? How is it that we can, you know, do something new? What's the next, you know, step? I know just speaking with Jeff the other day, we're talking about trying different sort of formations of how to generate song ideas and particularly ones that are like, you know, that move us in a cool direction or in a direction that, you know, that makes people go, ah, you know, like, how do you do that? So we're always pushing that still to this day.
Well, that's what I mean. I know you've got a tour of this record and everything, but with it 2 years old, that's what I started wondering. Like, does it become to the point where you're like, okay, well, we've got to start talking about the next record at this point?
Oh, yeah.
Could we do that?
Yeah. And we've recorded some songs. We're on our way. You know, we're making music.
Look at you. More Pearl Jam, a third album from Painted Shield, and, you know, that's everything. And Brad and everything else. Stone, you know, I love what you do. I'm such a huge fan. I hope you continue doing it for a million years.
Kyle, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I could only wish everyone, every DJ was like you. Blue Screw would be on the map right now. It'd be amazing.
We're going to make you famous, buddy. We're going to make you famous.
Yeah, I love it.
I'll be seeing you guys at the Nashville show later this year as well. I saw that on the dates.
Okay,
that's
great.
Right down the road. So can't wait.
Okay. Make sure you get a hold of me. I'll come out and find you.
Absolutely, buddy. Thank you so much. We'll see you around.
All right. Thank you.
And my thanks to Stone Gossard, Painted Shield 2. That's what you're going to look out for, as well as Pearl Jam on tour this year. Looks like it's happening. Further on, if you want to hear more interviews that I've had with Stone Gossard over the years, I did talk, of course, with Stone and Mason when they were promoting Painted Shield on the first round. And in that episode, I've included all my previous interviews with Stone Gossard as well. I think it's an hour-long file. I'm not going to re-include them here. You can do a little searching. Kyle Meredith with Stone Gossard. You can find that any places that you get your podcast from. And while you're there, go ahead and hit that subscribe button to keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. New ones every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. 3 interviews a week to keep up with your favorite artist and discover some new ones as well. Again, iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcast from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Afterward, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, mostly on Twitter, also occasionally on Facebook and Instagram, all 3 of them at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
They're not that great, but man, they are right on time.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Hey there, it's Kyle Meredith from Kyle Meredith With. After you check out the latest episode of my show, be sure to check out some of our other great programs on the Consequence Podcast Network, including Standing BTS, a bi-weekly podcast covering all things BTS and ARMY, and The Opus, Consequence's original documentary podcast exploring legendary albums and their lasting legacies. So head to consequence.net to listen to these podcasts and many great others.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.